All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Can you see it? Did you know this?
Check, but the puck comes right to Pettersson, who tries a bank pass for Besser. In with a shot, he scores!
A moment's notice. Adams leaves
to the line.
You're listening to Canucks Conversation.
Quinn Hughes beat reporter here. Like, I don't cover the Canucks. Yeah. I cover Quinn Hughes and what he's doing to the Canucks.
A member of the Nation Network of Podcasts and delivered by DoorDash.
Just wave the guy and get Demko involved. I wanted him in and down.
Wow. We should do a radio show together. Right on. I want to fist bump you right now.
What I'll have. Pearl steals, cutting in, shoots, scores! Public display. His ambush in me. They slay the dragon. He lives existence. Existence.
Don't waste all the good stuff on the off air. Let's go.
Hello, Canucks fans, and welcome back to another episode of the Canucks Conversation, brought to you by the great folks at Zephyr Epic, delivered to you by DoorDash. At ZephyrEpic.com, Z-E-P-H-Y-R, Epic, you can use our promo code HOCKEYSEASON, capital H, capital S, all one word, HOCKEYSEASON, at ZephyrEpic.com. Go check them out on Twitch. Check them out on all of the social media platforms. A lot of fun stuff going on there, and we are still waiting on that DoorDash promo code, but it is coming. My name is David Quadrelli. I am not joined by the man who built the place, Chris Faber. It's just me right now. And Chris will be on this episode, but we recorded remotely and we're not recording together because, as you all know, we had a pretty good weekend covering the draft. And I have a conversation on this episode with goaltender Aku Koskenvo, who I did an article on before he was drafted. Just talked to him, talked to Ian Clark yesterday. That story's up at CanucksArmy.com right now. Really fascinating stuff from the Canucks goaltending coach, so go check that out. But Chris was joined on this episode by Lucas Forsell, Hugo Gabrielsson, and our friend Alexa Potak in Sweden. She is very, very knowledgeable and talked to us about the Swedish prospects. So Chris did most of the interviews here, but I said since he did that, I would take over and do all the hosting and set everything up. So without further ado, we'll go to Alexa Potak, but this is our draft episode, folks. We've done a lot of draft episodes leading up to it. This is the one. We've got three prospects that were selected. Six prospects. We got half the prospects that were selected in the draft by the Canucks yesterday on this episode. So without further ado, we'll go to Alexa Potak.
All right, folks, we are excited to welcome back Alexa Potak from Dauber Prospect. She's been covering the Swedish draft a lot over this 2021 draft. And obviously, as Canucks fans, we know that we went back to the Swedish well to pick three important players moving forward for the Canucks organization. But first, Alexa, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing good. You're spending some time at the World Junior Summer Showcase. I know that you're just there for the weekend, but initial thoughts so far from just one day being there?
Well, it's been a lot of fun. It's my first time at one of these international tournaments, and last night was only Finland versus Sweden, but the Finnish team, they've got a really strong group of players, and the Swedes, it seems like they're missing a few. They don't have all of their top draft picks from this year, so I think that's hurting them a little bit.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, it's going to be nice to see guys like Eklund. You mentioned Wallstedt as well. That's going to be a big boost for them at the World Juniors, and it's going to be an exciting team. It always is with Sweden, right? I mean, the skill that they're able to put out in those U20 tournaments is just unreal every year.
Yeah, it's really cool to watch up close, especially.
Most definitely. Hey, since the last time we talked, you have graduated high school. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
And you're off to UMass next year. Obviously very exciting, and congratulations for that. But we're not here to talk about your schooling. We're here to talk about some Vancouver Canucks prospects. I want to get started with one that we're going to have interviewed on this episode as well, in Lucas Forsell. I know you mentioned that it was a name that you wanted to bring up as a great late-round option for a team, and the Canucks were able to do that in the seventh round, selecting him 201st overall. So from your viewings on Lucas Forsell, what are some things that Canucks fans should be excited about?
I think they should be excited because he's a really great value pick at that point. He's a player that has a pretty complete toolkit. He needs to elevate almost everything within it, but it's not like he's starting from a point where there's, you know, this major issue in his game that he needs to fix. He didn't get a lot of playing time this year. He only played in the J20 and one game in the SHL. But I think next year with more playing time, he'll be able to improve on his skills and continue to get better.
Absolutely. And the thing that stuck out for me watching him was kind of just the quick decision making and good passing right off the bat. But I know that, you know, before we started going here, you mentioned the skating is something that Canucks fans should like as well.
Yeah, I think he really he's certainly a more offensive minded player, but he really, I think, brings it with his playmaking and his skating and, like you said, his passing ability.
Right, and the other thing that I really liked was just the motor on the kid. Like, it felt like he wasn't taking any shifts off, and not only not taking shifts off, but, you know, that one game where he got into the SHL, I think he played about 3.5 minutes, but it was noticeable on every single shift. Just like, we joked about it with the director of scouting for the Canucks, Todd Harvey, that, you know, it looked like in that SHL game he was skating like his head was on fire.
Yeah, I think one thing that stuck out to me in that game especially, I think some players are not ready for the physicality. The SHL isn't a particularly physical league, but it's certainly more physical than the J20 league over there. So I think that it stuck out to me that he was able to handle the physicality and playing against men, you know, with such little ice time.
And something that you mentioned there, actually, I want to bring it up. The J20 league that had to get shut down because of COVID. Canucks fans obviously knew about that with their prospect, Victor Persson, who had to try and find hockey in a multitude of different places. Do you think that that's kind of a smart decision by the Vancouver Canucks? Because the way I looked at it was, you know, three of those players that they drafted were supposed to be J20 players for the whole season, had to find hockey somewhere else, maybe didn't get as many people viewing them. Do you think that that kind of gives some potential for the Canucks to maybe have a steal with one of those three players because the league got shut down and they weren't able to get a lot of viewings on these guys?
I think it certainly is. And in terms of some of the other Swedes that they took, they got to play in Hockeyettan, which is the third tier league in Sweden for men. And I think that it also just helps to see what they can do against, you know, adults. And I think that's really helpful when you're drafting a player, that you're seeing them play against real professional hockey players rather than, you know, under 20 players that might not make it to the next level.
And I know that you follow the Swedish leagues a lot better than I do. I'm wondering, what do you think it means for a guy like Lucas Forsell is a good example. We'll move on to another one of the prospects in a minute here, but he was a guy who was playing in the J20 league and then got to practice with an SHL team for the rest of the season, obviously gets into just the one game. But what do you think it means for a player of his age, 17, 18 years old, to be able to just practice with an SHL team?
I think it's a great experience. You're spending time around players that have certainly, you know, gained a lot more experience than you have. So he's learning a lot just about how to be a better hockey player, how to treat himself off the ice, all of that. I think, you know, you gain so much knowledge just from spending time with those that have played so many more games than you.
Absolutely. And I know that something that he said was kind of the goal for next year was, you know, to crack the team. Now that they've seen him, he's had a lot of good conversations. What would it mean for a guy like that, a 7th round pick, to be able to come out of his draft year and jump into the SHL? That seems like, you know, a pretty good accomplishment for a guy picked in the 200s.
Yeah, that would be a great accomplishment, and I'd love to see that from him. But I think Canucks fans should also expect, you know, a potential loan at some point during the season to Hockey Allsvenskan. A lot of Swedish Hockey League teams don't like to see their younger players struggle in the SHL and would rather loan them out for, you know, even if it's just 20 games in the season and they see improvement and they bring them back up. But I think, you know, with him being a later-round pick, it could potentially be a little bit of up and down, a little bit more movement. But it would be phenomenal if he could crack the team with Färjestad.
And one of the names that kind of I didn't do a ton of research into was the right shot defenseman, Jonathan Myrenberg. I know you spent some time over the past 24 hours watching him. Just from what I saw, looks like a big body. I mean, it looks like a big body right shot defenseman, has some offensive upside. What did you see over the past 24 hours of keeping your eye on him?
Yeah, I think that his play in Hockey a Ton and in the J20 leagues were very different. He seemed a lot more comfortable around players his own age. Mm-hmm. And I think his size was certainly more noticeable among players, you know, that haven't even reached the age of 20 yet, because he's, I believe, like 6'2 or 6'3.
Right.
So I think that his defensive game was what stuck out to me. I think when he got to Hockey a Ton, he didn't seem as comfortable diving into the offensive zone and kind of hung back by the blue line. Mm-hmm. But I think that, you know, as he gains just more experience playing against men, I think that he'll start to feel more comfortable to play his true game. And, you know, you never really know when you're watching these players with a new team, if these are the systems, if this is what he's being told to do. But I think that as he gets more experience playing against adults, he'll start to really become his true self.
Absolutely. I just think that, you know, the skating looked good, the size. I mean, you know, we hear about a guy being 6'2", but like, you know, you see him on the ice and like he looks like he's 6'2", 6'3". It's not like a fake scouting report seeing him at 6'2", for sure.
Yeah, certainly.
And I want to get to Hugo Gabrielsson a little bit, because he, you know, started his season playing alongside of Edvinsson, you know, top draft pick in this draft. So he was able to play the right side, which is something that, you know, all Canucks fans like to hear, because, man, we got a lot of left shot defensemen in the organization already. So anything on Hugo Gabrielsson? Is he a guy that you were able to get some viewings on this year?
You know, I think he was a guy that I indirectly watched a lot more of than I would have originally planned. He played with Simon Edvinsson when he was playing with Frölunda, so I got to see a whole lot of him and just seeing how that D partnership worked. They were very compatible for each other, I thought. And I think Hugo, he definitely has his offensive upside, and he's a decent skater, so I think that's good. And he'll be playing in Hockey Allsvenskan next season, which will be, I think, a good jump for him.
And maybe you can tell Canucks fans a little bit how different the Hockey E10 is from the Allsvenskan, because from players that I've talked to, the Hockey E10 league is kind of just like a step up from a men's league, I've heard from a Swedish prospect. But the Allsvenskan league, that's no joke. When you get to that league, that's a huge difference from E10, isn't it?
Yeah, Hockey a Ton is, they've got a lot of teams. They've got about 46 teams, I believe.
Holy cow.
So it just turns, it's like four divisions. It is kind of, you know, the way a men's league would feel. It's certainly not as talented of a group of players, just because of how many players there are. And I think that, you know, this season, so many of the Swedish prospects, even some of the top prospects, didn't end up in Hockey Allsvenskan. They ended up in Hockey a Ton.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it was a real adjustment for them, because I think that in some of their cases, some of their teammates were worse than their J20 teammates. So I think that playing in Hockey Allsvenskan, that's a legit league. That's going to be real hockey that he's playing, and hopefully he gets a chance even to move up to the SHL.
And can you maybe explain a little bit how the Allsvenskan works? Because it's not like a minor league team of the SHL team. Like, they're different teams, right?
there are different teams, but one thing that's pretty common is sometimes Hockey Aton teams and SHL teams, or Hockey Allsvenskan teams and SHL teams, have relationships where, you know, they frequently send players to this team, whether it's, you know, by proximity or just, you know, maybe the management are friends. Honestly, I think that they all are independent teams, but sometimes you see like a whole bunch of players playing for the same Hockey Allsvenskan club from the same SHL team.
Yeah, it looked like that. I mean, Gabrielsson was a good example. We just talked to him, Frölunda his whole career, and then he moves on to a completely different organization in Allsvenskan. So I think some people had a little bit of questions about that. I know I definitely did. So I want to ask a little bit about the Canucks' top pick from the draft, Danila Klimovich, the Belarusian player who looked great for Belarus at the U18s. I know you don't cover Belarus hockey, but you spent a lot of time watching the U18s, and he kind of, you know, was a big story from that tournament. What did you see from him, the top pick that the Canucks got 41st overall?
I think he's a really fun player to watch. He's a really aggressive player. He attacks a lot. He's, you know, really good on the puck. I think I haven't seen too much of him. I've really seen him just at the U18s, but I think that he's someone that's going to be really exciting. I think he's, you know, you have good hockey players and you have fun hockey players, which can also be good hockey players. I think he's a really fun one, so Canucks fans should get excited about him.
Yeah, and how much do you think that should maybe worry some fans that, you know, the big coming out party was the U18s for him? Because I know that a player can just have a good tournament and end up shooting up a lot of draft boards. I think seeing Klimovich go at 41 was kind of a shocker to a lot of scouts, because a lot of people had him in the third round.
Yeah, I think while, you know, that really was his coming out party, part of that could just be with him being a Belarusian hockey player. They're not typically getting selected so early in the draft that it might have been people not seeing him quite as much and being as exposed to him. And I think, you know, I'm sure the Canucks scouting department, they saw something in his games prior to that playing in the Belarusian league. And next season he'll be hopping over to the KHL. So that's something certainly to see.
That'll be very exciting to see. We love our KHL games. I do not love waking up at 5 o'clock in the morning for those very much, though. I like,
yeah,
the Swedish,
it's certainly easier from the East Coast.
Yeah, the Swedish games aren't bad. It's like 10 a.m. nice SHL time. That's good for me, but not a huge fan of the KHL time difference. But hey, Alexa, really appreciate you taking some time out of your day to jump back on the show here. I know we'll be keeping in touch for sure about these Swedish prospects, and people always appreciated your first time coming on the Canucks Convo. I hope they enjoy the second one as well. So thanks for taking some time, and enjoy the rest of that World Summer Showcase over there.
Thanks. Happy to join.
Massive thank you to Alexa Potak for joining us. Good conversation between her and Chris there. We'll go now to a quick ad break. You'll hear from our friends at Parallel 49 Brewing Company and ICBA before we get to a conversation with Hugo Gabrielsson and Lucas Forsell.
All right, folks, that's right. We got a new ad finally here for Parallel 49 Beer. You want to get down to the street kitchen, folks. It's more than just a street kitchen now. Now it is a full-on beer gardens. Absolutely beautiful. You've seen Quads and I tweeting about it. The food's amazing. A ton of beers on tap. Quads as well. You've had not only beers, but what other drinks did you like there?
Had the Muddler's Pink Lemonade. That was very good. You need to go get the food, though. The food at the Parallel 49 Street Kitchen, ridiculous. What did we eat that one day? Poutine, cheeseburger. Well, I ate it all. Waffle fries, and then we got those Korean barbecue wings.
Yeah, the spicy chicken burger, that's my go-to. But delicious. What you do, a little trick for everyone, you swap out the jalapenos for their pickled cucumbers. Very, very good. Highly recommend that. That's down at 1950 Triumph Street off an East Van. That's Parallel 49 at 1950 Triumph Street. Check them out in East Van and go down and try some beers, and be sure to get some food down on that beautiful patio.
The pandemic and a slow economy are making it tough on a lot of people to find steady, good-paying work. But one industry is bucking that trend. Construction companies are hiring and need more workers than ever before. Upload your resume to icba.ca and get noticed. With more than 3,000 employers on our ICBA team, our employment network can connect you to businesses crewing up for the 2021 construction season. Trades jobs that pay well, offer excellent benefits, invest in safety training, and give a firm career foundation. Check out icba.ca/jobs.
All right, guys, joining us now, Canucks' sixth-round pick, a defenseman out of Sweden. It seems like they went back to the well in Sweden quite a bit this year. Hugo Gabrielsson. Hugo, how you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. Just chatting with a couple of prospects, one of my favorite things to do. And you're in Barcelona now. You said first time in Barcelona, but not your first time in Spain. What are your initial thoughts about the city of Barcelona so far?
It's really good. It's good weather, nice restaurants, and nice streets, so I'm enjoying it.
Awesome. And your first time getting there, that must be pretty exciting. That's a big city there in Barcelona.
Yeah, it's really big. It's much bigger than Gothenburg, where I usually live.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good to hear, man. And obviously a big day for you yesterday. You were drafted by the Vancouver Canucks. What were your initial thoughts when you heard that Vancouver was drafting you?
Yeah, I was really shocked, actually, because the Canucks was not a team I've talked to. Mm-hmm. So it came a little bit like a shock, but I'm really excited to be there.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, a lot of great Swedish players have come through Vancouver. Was that kind of exciting for you to hear that you were going to be the next one in line?
Yeah, growing up, I watched the Sedin brothers. They were really good. And yeah. And obviously Alexander Ehler and Louis Eriksson.
Yeah, Louis Eriksson's a fan favorite here in Vancouver. And obviously Elias Pettersson, Höglander, a big long line of these guys. You know, it's kind of cool to see all the connections between the Canucks and the Swedish team. Is that something that, you know, you kind of know as a guy growing up in Sweden about how many good players played for the Canucks?
Nah, I'm not really. I don't know if I can say this, but I was a Canadian fan growing up.
Oh, interesting. How did you become a Canadians fan?
I don't know, really, but it started somewhere when I was like 10 or 11, and I just kept watching them and liked them.
That's cool. And who was growing up? Was Frölunda always your favorite SHL team?
Yeah, it was. I think every hockey player in Gothenburg watches Frölunda and watches their game, so it was my favorite team growing up.
And obviously you got to play with them, you know, grew up in that program, and, you know, the SHL would be something down the road for you to play with Frölunda. How exciting do you think that's going to be when you get the opportunity to wear that jersey, be in front of an SHL crowd, and play for Frölunda? Is that a moment that you're looking forward to?
Yeah, that would be a childhood dream to play in SHL and in front of the fans there.
You went through a little bit of a season that was obviously tough. You were playing in the J20 National League, and that got shut down due to COVID, but you were able to find some more hockey to play in the Hockey E10. What was that moment kind of like when you heard that your season was going to be canceled in the J20 League?
Yeah, that was really tough. We had something good in our team and all that, so it was really, really, really bad.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But you were able to play some more games and find another league to play in. How do you think you performed in the Hockey E10 League this year?
I like decent. I don't think it was so good and not so bad, but it was little. It was much different from the J20. Mm-hmm. It was a little different tactics, and the games were different.
What were some of the biggest differences? Because that's, you know, you're going from a junior 20 league, moving up to a league that's, you know, playing against men. Was that a little bit tough to adjust to off the start?
Yeah, it was. I think it in the J20 is more like skill and offensive games, yeah. But in hockey, Eran is more like physical and yeah, all that.
Well, I think that, you know, when we talk about speed and skill, that seems to be your strength as a defenseman. Is that something that you've always been? Have you always been, you know, the good skater who makes good passes out of your zone since you were a little kid?
Nah, I don't think so. I always been pretty skilled with my stick, but I was pretty late in puberty and all that, so I haven't been that fast and strong always.
So now that you have had that growth spree and grown quite a bit, when did that happen? Were you a pretty short kid growing up and grew up to 6'1" pretty late?
Nah, I always been pretty tall, but not I was not heavy back there, and I'm not so heavy now. But it's something I'm working on.
That's good to hear. And what about being a defenseman? Was it something that you always were since you were young, or did you make a switch later on?
I actually was a center until I like 10, 11 or something. Mm-hmm. Then I become a D, and I've been that since.
And what do you like about being a defenseman compared to a center?
It's like you have more puck and you can you can make more plays and all that down the rink, or we say down the
Yeah, down the rink, down the ice, either or. I mean,
yeah, down the ice. Yeah, that was the word I'm looking for.
And I know that a lot of people are going to ask, what kind of defenseman are you? Do you think you're more offensive or defensive defenseman?
Right now, I think I'm a more offensive defenseman, but I want to be a really good two-way defender that have some offensive qualities, and that's something I'm working on. So my defensive game is something I'm working on right now.
Is there any defenseman that you watch in the NHL and you're like, man, I'd like to play more like that player?
Yeah, obviously, Victor Hedman is the perfect D-man. So that's the D-man I think all these want to be.
But you don't think you're going to grow another 7 inches to be as tall as him, though, right?
No.
You might be done with that.
Yeah.
Well, I know that it's going to be a big off season for you. I'm sure that there's a goal for you for next season. What is kind of something that you want to try to accomplish next year?
Yeah, it's I'm going to play in Allsvenskan. It's a men's league, and I want to be a good player there, and yeah, just adjust the game there.
Right, and that's going to be a tough adjustment because I think, I've talked to a lot of Swedish prospects who have played in the Hockey E10, and, I know it's the third men's league over there, like the third division, but I've heard that the jump up to Allsvenskan, it's a big jump, and that's a lot harder hockey to play.
Yeah, exactly.
So with you looking at that league and that kind of being your goal next year, what are some things that you want to work on this offseason?
Yeah, he's getting stronger, faster, and that's in the gym, and on the ice it's like getting more tougher around the corners and around the net and all that.
Yeah, and I think you mentioned that you were going to be heading is it Västervik? Am I saying that right? Västervik?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, not bad then. And you said you're heading there in August to start practicing with the team?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's exciting, man. And I know that making the jump to Allsvenskan is going to be big, but what part of your game do you think is the most ready to go to the next level?
I think it's my hockey sense and my passing game. I can think the game fast and all that. So,
And I know that there was a lot of scouts and myself personally just watching you. We really, liked a lot of the parts about your skating. Is that something that you try and work on every year? And do you think you've gotten better at skating every single year for the past little bit?
Yeah, exactly. We work pretty much on that in the Frölunda program. And right now in the summer, I'm training with Andreas Larsson. He's a skating coach, so we're working on the skating pretty much there.
Well, that's awesome to hear. And I think, people over here don't really understand how big of a program Frölunda really is. Can you maybe tell us, what it's like in Sweden? Like, Frölunda is one of the biggest hockey programs you can have over there in Sweden, I think.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's so many great players that... So the competition is really good, and we're pushing each other on the practices, and that makes everyone better.
And what's the coaching staff and training facilities like over there? I'm sure that's top-notch.
Yeah, it's really, really good. We have a really good gym, and the coaches are good, really good, and all that, so only positive.
That's good to hear. I know that we've talked to a lot of prospects that are with their programs. What's it kind of like for you growing up, and then when you first went into Frölunda and you're working out with that group? I guess it would have been, probably 2017 maybe when you started with them with the U16 program. Like, what was it kind of like your first few practices or training for things with Frölunda? Were you just kind of like so excited to be with that big organization?
Yeah, exactly. It was a childhood dream to just play for Frölunda, and it was a big difference from the club I was before, with all the gym, and we trained a lot more and all that.
And I guess I kind of want to ask, in your time there, because you've spent, almost, 4 or 5 seasons now with them and through the program. What are some of your favorite moments from playing with Frölunda jersey on?
I think it's when we won the Swedish championship 2 years ago, I think, in under-18.
Mm-hmm. And what was that kind of like in the finals there?
What did you say?
What was it like in the finals of that game? Was it pretty back and forth?
Yeah, exactly. I think we were down like one goal into the last period and then scored 2 or something. I'm not sure, but I think it was something like that.
Big one to win the championship. That's good. Well, hey, Hugo, I think people would like to learn a little bit about you off the ice. So I kind of want to ask about television shows. Do you watch much television from North America?
You mean like Friends and How I Met Your Mother and that?
Yeah, How I Met Your Mother. Are you a fan of that?
Yeah, it's really good. I watched that.
That's one of my favorite comedies as well. Have you watched every single episode of every season?
Actually, two times.
Two times, that's good. Who's who do you think the funniest is on the show?
Obviously Barney, I think. Barney Stinson.
Yeah, I think I would have to agree with that. He's a legendary character, I think.
Exactly.
And I know that, you know, probably some movies as well over there. Are you like a scary movie guy, an action movie guy, like a comedy, funny movie? Like, what are your favorite kinds of movies?
I think it's comedy and action.
Okay.
Are my favorites.
Do you have a favorite comedy or a favorite action movie that you've watched?
Yeah, what do you call in English? Coming to America.
Okay, that's a good one, yeah. That's old
school. Yeah, and Beverly Hills 213.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are really good.
That's good stuff. Those are some old school movies. You like watching movies that are a little bit older? Or do you like some of the new stuff?
Nah, I'm not. I'm into all. I just like good movies.
That's cool. And I know that you've obviously played hockey quite a bit in your life, but did you ever play any other sports, spend some time on the soccer field at all?
Yeah, exactly. I played soccer until I was like 13, maybe.
Okay. Were you a defender in soccer as well or a different position?
I played many positions, but I think I was in the midfield.
Okay.
Most.
That's a lot of running there, man. That's a lot of running.
Yeah, exactly.
Probably a little bit easier on ice when you can glide a little bit.
Yeah.
What about some things in the off season? What do you like to do? Are you much of a fisherman, or do you like to play any other sports, hang out with friends? What are your off seasons? What are some of your favorite things to do?
Yeah, I really like play golf and paddle, if you know what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're my two favorite things doing in the off season.
Okay, that's cool. How long have you been playing golf?
What did you say?
How long have you been playing golf? Have you been playing since you were pretty young?
No, I actually used to play 2 years now, so okay. Not played that much.
It's a tough sport. Do you think you're a natural at it, or are you still not the best golfer?
I'm actually really bad, so not natural.
Well, that's good to hear. I think that that's how most people are at golf.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool to hear. And I asked Lucas about this, who was just drafted in the 7th round by the Vancouver Canucks. I know that pizza over there in Sweden is obviously a pretty big food, and obviously it's kind of different from here. But do you like pineapple on your pizza over there?
No, that's disgusting.
That's what Lucas said as well. I think a lot of people were agreeing. It's a big debate over here in Vancouver about pineapple or not.
Oof.
What about you? Your favorite pizza? What's your go-to?
I'm pretty basic. I like pepperoni. Mm-hmm. That's good.
That's good. Keep it simple. I know you're in Barcelona right now. What are some things that you're looking forward to exploring in the city?
What did you say?
You're in Barcelona now. I'd love to hear what you're excited about to see in the city there.
Maybe we visiting in Camp Nou, Barcelona's home arena.
Yep.
And just chill, actually. Nothing special.
Right.
Just relaxing.
That's good, man. We'll enjoy that for sure. What about your family? Does your family, did they play a lot of hockey growing up, or is that something that you kind of just started for your family?
No, my dad played, but not on a high level. He played until he was like 18, I think. And my mom didn't play any sports.
Interesting. Well, that's cool to hear, and it's nice to hear that you're continuing on what your dad did. Did your dad teach you quite a bit when you were young?
Nah, not really teach me, but he's pushing me and helped me and all that.
Well, that's good to hear, man. And now that you're going into next season, what's the one part that you think you might need to work on so that you can have success in the Allsvenskan?
I think it's being more tougher.
Right.
That's all around the ice, in the corners, and around the net, and yeah, everywhere.
And I know that you talked about wanting to be able to be a two-way defenseman. Is that something that you want to do? Like, do you want to be able to kill penalties and also play on the power play next year?
Yeah, exactly. I want to play all situations and, yeah, all that.
And being, like, drafted is obviously a huge accomplishment. But to hear that it was Vancouver, was there, you know, you know, you mentioned that Montreal might have been a cool one to get picked by for yourself, but when you heard it was Vancouver, how excited were you when you found out that that was the team that picked you?
I was super happy. I like Montreal when I was little and a little bit now, but I used to watching good hockey, and Elias Pettersson is really fun to watch, and Quinn Hughes and all that skilled players, so it's really, I was really happy.
When you were a little bit younger, did you get a chance to see Pettersson in person at all when he was over in the Allsvenskan or in the SHL?
No, I don't think so. Nah.
What about just going to SHL games? Do you have a favorite memory of going to a game and watching one when you were younger?
Yeah, it was like being in Scandinavia and watching Frölunda. Just watch all the good players there, and so many, I can't really name one.
Yeah, no doubt. Was that something that you maybe kind of have as a goal this year? Like, you're going to play in the Allsvenskan, but potentially you might be able to get called up to Frölunda next year or the year after that. Is that a big-time goal for you to get to there in the next 2 years?
Oh, actually, I don't have a contract with Frölunda anymore. Okay. I'm signed full with Västervik, so...
Oh, okay.
I don't think it will happen this season, so, but it will be a dream, obviously.
Yeah, most definitely, and I think you'll probably be there in 2 years, definitely in the SHL, so that's exciting for Canucks fans. You know what, Hugo, I think we'll wrap it up there. I'm super jacked up to have this conversation with you, but I want to let you go so you can enjoy Barcelona a little bit. That's a beautiful city.
Yeah, thanks. It was really fun joining.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And we'll be in contact throughout the season. We'll be following you closely here in Vancouver. You'll probably see 100 videos of me tweeting about you. So don't get too creeped out when you see all the videos that I post of you, okay?
It's fun.
Awesome, Hugo. Have a good vacation there in Barcelona.
Yeah, have a good time.
All right, guys, joining us now, we have the Canucks' 7th-round pick, the 201st selection of the 2021 NHL Entry Draft. He is a left winger out of Sweden, finished his J20 season last year. Lucas Forsell. Lucas, how are you doing today?
I'm doing really good. Really fun time last night, and woke up today to be a part of the Canucks organization. I'm doing really good.
Absolutely. And I got to ask, like, how excited was it when you found out that Vancouver was the team that drafted you?
I was super excited. It couldn't be any better. I've heard Vancouver is a really hockey town, great fans, and a beautiful city. And hopefully, I get to see the Vancouver city. And I'm so excited.
Absolutely. And I know that there's obviously a lot of Swedish players who have come and played in Vancouver over the past. Who are some of your favorite players from Sweden that have played in Vancouver?
Of course, right now, Elias Pettersson is unbelievable talent. And the Sedin twins, of course, they are absolute legends. And Marcus Näslund. And then my strength and conditioning coach in the under-20 team, Magnus Arvelsson, played in Vancouver as well.
Oh, yeah.
So... It's many, many great Swedes, but the names that I said they're the main names, I think.
So you're pretty young. What do you remember about the Sedin twins? Because we had them here for a long time, and they were drafted before you were even born.
Most of the time, I saw them when the Sweden won the. World gold in the world championship. I don't remember what year it was, but they come in the tournament pretty late and they just dominated the game. And from that moment, I think I fell in love with their game.
And how much better of a hockey player do you think you would be if you had a twin brother?
I think I would be move up some steps. I think they would just say, "Hey, kid, go to the net and put the stick on the ice, and you will have the puck in the, you score the puck in the goal." So I think that would be, it would be easy to play with them, I think.
Yeah, very easy for sure. And last year was an interesting year for you. You were playing in the J20 league, but then that league got shut down. You were able to go practice with the SHL team, and you even got into one game last year. How did you kind of look at how everything went last year with the season being canceled? That must have been pretty tough for you.
Yeah, of course, I was disappointed when the season shut down, but it was the right thing to do because of the pandemic. But we talked about to another team so I could play games, but me and my agents decided to it's best for me to just be in the gym, have some practices with the SHL team, and try to build as much muscle as possible, because I think that's where my main weakness is right now. I'm not that big of a guy, so we decided to it's best for me to work really hard in the gym instead to going somewhere and play games.
Yeah, and I think you mentioned that you're not the biggest guy, but you are getting a lot taller. Is there a recent? Did you grow recently, or are you just trying to fill out that body with some muscle now, or have you always been about 6 foot since you were pretty young?
No, I think my length got pretty tall like 1 or 2 years ago. I've always been the small kid, and. Then I started to grow, but it's some muscles left that also need to grow. But I've always been a small kid for sure.
So when you grow a little bit of height there, did it make it kind of difficult to adjust to being so much taller, I guess?
I think it was just great for my development to be a small player from a young age, because I had to adapt when I got to meet bigger opponents on the ice. I couldn't run them over as easy. I need to find other ways to get out of situations. And then I got my length, and then I started to like be stronger on the puck as well. And so I think that have just been great for my development.
And when you were growing up, did you play any other sports aside from hockey?
Yeah, I played, like you say, soccer, yep, but we in Sweden say football, but yeah, I played that, and I think I quit the soccer when I was 14, I think, so I was playing soccer a pretty long time.
Yeah, and I mean, we've seen the way that you play hockey. I've definitely been watching you for the past few months in your season, but what kind of soccer player were you? What position did you play?
I was in the central midfield. I was a tough guy that won the ball on the midfields and passed the ball up to the forwards so they could score goals, I think.
That's a lot of running to play midfield there. That's probably the position where you run the most.
Yeah, exactly. It was much running for me, but it was so fun. I remember all the football tournaments, and I love soccer.
That's awesome, man. And I know that, being a midfielder, you have to pass the ball a lot. One of the exciting things about watching you play hockey is how good your passing skill has been. Is that something that you've always worked on since you were a little kid, is trying to be a good playmaker?
I think that's something that's always been with me, that I have great vision, and for me it's... my teammates helped me a lot with my passing game, my line mates over in Färjestad, and so, but I don't know, it just comes when I see open ice. I just try to put the puck there, and sometimes it works, sometimes it don't, but it's a great strength.
Yeah, most definitely. And I know that you got to, like you mentioned, you got to practice with the SHL team. How cool was that for you to be able to play with, the best league in Sweden that for a little bit and practice with those guys?
It was super fun. They are great guys, and they help us younger players really much, the coaches and the players. Most of it, this was fun. I was excited, but of course I wanted, when I did the phone call that I was going to practice, and I wanted to make a statement that I'm there to stay and try to make an impression on the team and the coaches. So it was exciting, but I was also hungry for more.
Yeah. Most definitely. I think I could see that you were hungry in your first SHL game that you played. You played 3 minutes in that game. And hearing from the scouting director for the Vancouver Canucks, Todd Harvey, he said that, you know, we were kind of joking in the conversation that you were playing like your head was on fire in that SHL game. You were going pretty hard. Was that just because you hadn't played a game in so long? I think it was about 100 days since your last game when you played that SHL game.
Yeah, I was on fire. I wanted to, like, give it all on the ice. So I wanted to give myself the best chance to be, to get more chances. I wanted to make a statement, and yeah, maybe that's true that my head was on fire.
Well, it looked good. It was definitely a good video to watch of you going going very hard in that game. And yeah. Since you got an opportunity to play your first SHL game, what was that kind of like when you heard that you were going to suit up for a game, put on the jersey for the first time, and play in an SHL game? That must be a pretty exciting moment for a guy from Sweden like yourself.
Yeah, of course. That was ever since I came to Färjestad from my hometown, Fagersta. It's always been the goal to put on the SHL team's jersey, and so I was really excited. And yeah, it was for sure another dream that came true that day.
And you got a little taste of the SHL. Is that now the goal for you next year? Do you think you made enough of an impression on the coaches to try and crack the roster next year and play some games?
I hope so. We have had great talks, me and the coaching staff of the team. So I hope that I'm going to get the chances, and then it's just up to me to take them as well. So, yeah, but that is the main goal.
That's awesome to hear. And I know that the Canucks don't only just have Elias Pettersson on the team as a Swede, but Nils Höglander just made the jump from the SHL over here to the NHL and really impressed a lot of people with, you know, how well he was able to not only, you know, score goals and put up points, but how good he was defensively and being able to defend against NHL players. Is that something that you want to kind of focus on for the next years of improving, is not only scoring more goals and being able to put up some points, but working on your defensive game as well?
Yeah, of course. I think I need to improve my defensive game. I want to play in the big all the situations like PK, power play. I want to play as much as possible, and for do that you need to have both strengths on the offense and the defense. So me and Färjestad have worked on that. We see that as a I need to improve that, to be able to play on the SHL, you need to be good defensively. You can't just think about the offense all the time. So yeah, that's a goal to improve.
That's good to hear. I think everybody would love to see everyone get better at defense. It's obviously a huge part of the game. And, you know, getting that chance next year is something that you must be super excited about. So what's your summer training looking like this year? Is it, you know, more working harder than ever before for you now that you're so close to the SHL and you just got drafted?
Yeah, I've worked really, really hard this summer. Me and a friend here from Fagersta that's also playing hockey are training together. It's fun to have a training buddy, and he's also my best friend, and we push each other really, really hard, and we have worked our ass off, if you can say that.
Yes, you absolutely can say that. That's actually really good to hear that you're working that hard. And now that the summer's kind of been going on, what has been something that, you know, has been a little bit better for you? Now that the pandemic is sort of slowing down a bit, have you been able to see lots of the family and lots of your friends a little bit more now?
Yeah, I haven't seen my grandparents for a long, long time. They have been inside and don't met people at all. But now when they got the vaccine, the first thing I did when I came home from Karlstad was to see them, and got to meet them, and it was it's so fun to meet them after so long in this year we have been living in. So
well, that's really good to hear, man. And I know, yeah, it's been tough for everyone. I just saw my grandma for the first time in about a year and a half a couple months ago, so that was really awesome to see her for the first time. It's been very good. And I guess now that we're kind of going into, I guess, you know, looking at the off season, is there one part of your game that you want to work on a little bit more? Like, is it just, do you want to add some muscle? That seems like something that you've talked about a little bit in this interview already for the off season.
Of course, I want to grow muscles, but as well, I want to improve my shot. I think that also is a goal for me, and I've been shooting pucks this summer and try to work on that as well. But the main goals is the muscles and the shot for me.
That's good to hear. And I guess Canucks fans that haven't seen you play before, what would you say is the biggest strength in your game right now?
I think I'm a fast player. I'm very quick on the turning, and of course my playmaking ability is also pretty good. So I'm a fast playmaker. I will describe if I'm going to be short.
Absolutely. Well, you grew a little bit, so you don't have to be short anymore. That's good.
Yeah.
Hey, Lucas, when you were growing up, like, was there much hockey going around in your family? Do your parents play? Do your grandparents play? Like, has hockey been something that kind of works with your family all your life?
My dad played hockey from since he was a kid, but when he got me, he decided to quit. He played in the Division 1 here in Sweden. And on that time, it was the second best league here in Sweden. So he had played, but my grandfather had played soccer. My uncle played soccer. So, but for my dad, it's been hockey. But my uncle and grandfather actually played soccer.
Oh, wow, interesting. So I got to ask, since you were growing up, and obviously you've gotten to a pretty high level right now, what age did you become better than your dad at hockey?
If you ask him, I'm not better than him right now. If you ask me, maybe this year or last year, I would say.
That's good to hear. So he wouldn't let you beat you on one-on-one yet?
No, if you ask him, I would not beat him.
Sounds good. And what made you want to become a winger? Is it always just kind of wanted to be a scoring wing player, or you never wanted to play center or defense? You just wanted to be a goal scorer type of player, or what?
From when I was young, I actually started as a D.
Okay.
But it was one game, my coach put me on forward, and I think I scored a few goals that game, and from there it was the winger for me. So, but in May, I don't know how many years ago that was, but I changed it from a D to forward.
Wow, that's good. I think you made the right decision, because I'm looking at your stats from the U16 leagues and the U18 leagues that you played in. You put up a ton of goals. I'm looking at your U16 numbers. You had 39 goals in 16 games. What was one of the games where you scored the most amount of goals in one of those games? Because you must have scored a lot of hat tricks.
I don't remember, but one game, I scored 6 goals, I think, was the most.
I wonder if the Canucks were scouting you for that one.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, that's good to hear. Hey, Lucas, I think we'd like to hear a little bit about you off the ice. What are some of your favorite television shows? Do you watch many television shows from North America?
Ooh, yeah, I watch a few. My favorite all time must be Prison Break or Breaking Bad, I think, and Sons of Anarchy. Those are my favorites. But right now, I'm not watching any shows right now.
Mm-hmm. That's, you know what? I've heard a lot of Swedish players that I've talked to, and they seem to like Prison Break. Is that really big over there in Sweden?
Yeah, I think everyone loves Prison Break there in Sweden. It's when my friend group started to watch that, we couldn't stop watching it. We watched it hours and hours and over again. And yeah, it's actually pretty big here in Sweden.
We call that binging. That's what you call it. You call it binging television over here.
Yeah.
Hey, what about movies? Are you a scary movie guy, a funny movie guy, an action movie guy? What are your favorite kinds of movies?
Funny movies, I think. I love movies with Kevin Hart. Okay. I think he's a really, really funny actor. And I love movies when he's acting.
And what do you think the funniest movie of all time is that you have seen?
Oh, maybe Kevin Hart is not on that movie, but the Grown Ups.
Grown Ups, that's the good
one. Yeah, they're pretty funny. Grown Ups 1 and 2, they're high ranked for me.
Yeah, Adam Sandler does a lot of good stuff. He has in the past for sure. Good actor. Yeah. Very funny. I guess, like, what about food? I know that it's, you know, it's a little bit of a different food culture over there in Sweden compared to North America, but what's some of your favorite some favorite foods for you when you're in the off season and having a little bit of a cheat meal?
I would say a pizza at the local pizza restaurant here in my hometown, Fagersta. We say kebab pizza. It's meat on the pizza, and yeah, that's a really good pizza and a great cheap meal.
That's good to hear. And one of the big debates over here in North America is, do you put pineapple on pizza? What do you think about that?
I don't like pineapple on pizza, but many of my friends love it. But I'm not a big fan of it.
Well, that's good to know. I think most people over here will agree with you on that one. And now that you're going into next season, do you have any goals for next year, Lucas? Anything that you're really excited to accomplish for yourself next year?
I want to grab a jersey in the SHL team. That's my big goal, to sign a contract with the SHL team. That's what I am going for.
That's awesome, and I think that's something that you can definitely accomplish now that they've seen you play and play in a game for them this year. That's good to hear, and you know, I think we'll probably wrap things up there, Lucas. Really appreciate you taking the time out of your day to come on the conversation here and chat with us. But one of the final things I wanted to ask was, you know, I think a lot of prospects, whoever they get drafted by, they're so excited. They say it's a dream come true. But for you, to hear that it was Vancouver, can you just kind of explain to us how that was a dream come true for you, the fact that it was Vancouver?
I mean, with Elias Pettersson, the Daniel Sedins, it's big Swedish names that have been in Vancouver. And my dad's work company have a store in Vancouver. So he has been in Vancouver and he loves it. So I think he was really excited about that. He said, yeah, maybe in the future I can work and be with my son in Vancouver. But for me, it was so exciting. Vancouver is it's a great organization. And I think it's a young team that's going to be really great in the future. And yeah, I'm so proud to be a part of the organization.
Absolutely. Yeah, you'll definitely have to get over here with your dad to see the city. It's beautiful over here. And,
yeah.
And something else that just happened recently in Vancouver was their minor league team moved from New York all the way over here to Abbotsford, which is a city close to Vancouver. If you can, would you like to come over and play in the AHL to work your way up to the NHL? It's the minor leagues here in Vancouver.
Maybe not right now. I mean, if that would be a great option and it feels great, I'm open for it, of course. But right now, if I had to make a quick answer, I would say I want to work my way up here in Sweden for now, and then maybe go over to work my way up to the NHL. But a quick answer, no, I want to stay in Sweden, finish my school education, and
Yeah, and then a couple more years in Sweden, and then you'll probably hopefully make that jump over here to North America. That must be an exciting day. So, hey, Lucas, really appreciate you taking out the time. I think people are going to enjoy hearing about you, hearing about the player that you are, and hearing your love for Adam Sandler movies. I think they're going to enjoy that as well.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It was a fun time.
Yeah, absolutely, Lucas. I'm sure we'll chat again down the road. We'll be following you over here from Vancouver. And best of luck making that SHL team next year. We're all excited for that.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Squish Beverage, my new favorite drink of the summer. Absolutely crushable. The right drink to bring down to the beach, the right drink to bring down to the river, camping, whatever you're doing this summer. Squish is the beverage for you. They have original hard seltzers and a bunch of different flavors, but the lemonade ones, those are my favorite quads.
Me too. I can drink more than one of those. They're crushable.
Which is good. So when you go down to the beach, you're bringing how many?
More than one.
More than
one. Unlike last time.
Absolutely. This is the hard seltzer for you. This is the hard seltzer for summer. Go out and try Squish. You can find the original flavors of hard seltzer at BC liquor stores. But if you want to do a little bit of digging, that's where you're going to find the lemonades, my favorite. And you can find those at private liquor stores all across British Columbia.
All right. And a massive thank you to Hugo Gabrielson, Lucas Forsell for joining us on this week's episode. And of course, Alexa Potak, already thanked her, but I want to thank her again. And of course, our sponsors at Squish. Now, this interview coming up here is one that I was very excited about. I've been talking about it for months. If you've been listening to this show, reading my articles at Canucks Army, you know I wanted them to draft Aku Koskenvo, and he is now on the show. Now, when you're listening to this, you're going to hear about it a lot more on Tuesday's episode, when we will be joined, by the way, by Frank Saravalli of Daily Faceoff. Day before free agency, you won't want to miss that episode coming out Tuesday afternoon. You won't want to miss that one, folks. But in this conversation with Koskenvo, keep in mind, he brings up his hands. I was telling you all about his hands. He brings it up without me saying anything about it. So without further ado, let's close out with a conversation with Aku Koskenvo.
All right, guys. Very pleased to be joined now by Aku Koskenvo, latest draft pick of the Vancouver Canucks. Aku, first of all, congratulations. What was your initial reaction to being drafted by the Canucks?
Well, of course, it was an incredible feeling and a dream come true, of course. Ever since I've been playing ice hockey, it's been a dream to get drafted by an NHL team, and the dream has finally come true, so it was a fantastic feeling.
Have you ever been to Canada before?
I've been to Canada once.
Where did you go?
The Niagara Falls.
Ah, very nice. Good choice. Okay, so we'll get into some hockey talk here. You're going to Harvard next year. First Finnish player. Yeah. How exciting.
Yeah, it's actually 2022 and 2023 season. So it's the season after this upcoming season, because I have to finish high school here in Finland first before attending Harvard.
Gotcha. So what are your plans for next season? Are you going to stay with Espoo?
Yeah, I'm going to stay in the current team that I'm playing, because I can't play any pro matches, because otherwise I can't play in the NCAA. And I had a choice between the USHL and the Finnish Junior League, but I thought that it's just easier to stay here, because then I can finish my high school education, because it would be a little bit of a hassle to do all of my courses as online courses from the States. So I just thought it would be easier to stay here.
Yeah, that makes total sense. How excited are you, though, to go to Harvard?
Well, of course, it's a pretty prestigious school, so it's very exciting. And that's also been one of my dreams, to get to Harvard. And so of course, it was great to get the commitment to get to go there. And I'm very excited to go there after next season.
Absolutely. So I was talking to Canucks goaltending coach Ian Clark yesterday, and we were both talking about your flexibility. You've got great flexibility, and you're able to seal off the bottom of the net really well. Is that something you've kind of worked at, or did it just kind of come naturally to you?
Well, I would say I've always been like fairly flexible, but it's still something I'm working on, and I try to stretch almost every night and improve it. I think it's on an okay level, but I see that there's still a lot to improve.
Now, I want to talk to you about that, the work ethic, and just, you know, that's something Canucks fans have heard about you already, is that you have a strong work ethic. How important is it for you to always be trying to improve and always be trying to grow as a goaltender?
Well, I think it's important that every day you try to be the best you can, and every day learn something new. And of course, the faster you learn, the better you're going to become. And obviously, if you're a goalie who can learn very fast, then it's you're going to make it faster to the NHL. And that's, of course, my goal, to learn as fast as possible and be the best version of myself every single day, so that I can make it as fast as possible to the Vancouver Ice over there in the NHL.
Absolutely. So when you look at and you critique your own game, what's the biggest area of improvement for you?
I would say maybe just playing a little more calm and maybe some little tweaks like the position of my hands and maybe some positioning stuff and realizing that I'm quite big of a goalie, so that I just need to work on the angles a little bit. But I think those aren't that big of things. Like, I think it won't take too long to get a handle of those. And I think when I get those refined, I think the game is going to improve a lot.
What would you say the biggest challenge that you've faced so far in your career has been up to this point?
Well, I don't know. When I had my, I had a stress fracture in my back and I was out for seven months back in 2019. So that was maybe the hardest part of my career up until that. It was quite a long time to be away from the rink. And of course it affected everything in the sense that I couldn't really practice for 7 months. So yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. I know it's hard to compare yourself and a lot of people don't like to compare themselves to other goalies, but do you see any similarities between your game and any current goalie in the National Hockey League?
I don't know exactly a goalie who I could compare myself to, but I definitely try to play my game how Vasilevskiy plays, of course, keeping a small spice of my own playing style. I think every goalie should play how they feel is the best, but I think he has very many good attributes and elements to his game that I could take on to myself. So, definitely Vasilevskiy is someone who I would like to play like, but I wouldn't say that there's necessarily any goalie that I would compare myself to at the moment.
Yeah, that makes sense. Now, I don't know if you've heard much about Ian Clark. Have you had a chance to speak with him yet?
Yeah, he reached out today and we set up a meeting for tomorrow. But that's gonna be the first time talking to him properly.
Yeah, very nice. All right, well, I really appreciate you taking the time, Aku. All the best going forward, and hopefully we see you in Vancouver soon.
Yeah, thank you.
And a huge thank you to Aku Koskenvo and everybody who joined us for this episode. No poll questions today, but we are delivered to you by DoorDash, so I just wanted to give them a quick shout-out before we close out the episode here. So now, I guess we'll hit it with the new outro music, which is new for us, but I did edit it, added the thank you Jim drop, so that's still there. But yeah, you'll hear it. If you haven't heard it already, here's the new extra. For Chris Faber, I'm David Quadrelli. Thank you so much for listening to the Canucks Conversation.
Thanks for listening to Canucks Conversation, delivered by DoorDash. Hit the subscribe button to never miss an episode.
How about keep it to a thank you, Jim?
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.